Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog everyone. Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. This is your guy, Michael Washington. I hope you all out there can hear me today. I have a few people on the line that we're going to talk to tonight. Hello, who the hell is all here with me? Can you give me your identity?
That's right, and we're going to be celebrating Umoja.
means unity. Right now. Well, thank y'all, Kingdom and Matter, for joining in People Power Radio. This is your guy, Michael Washington, Tree Shaker. Again, tonight we're going to be talking about Kwanzaa, which is our topic for tonight, Ross Cash. So let me welcome each and every one of you and say hello, and I hope that all of you are doing well.
Yes, and I'm now. Did I click off? Can you hear me, everybody? I think we're having technical difficulties. Can you hear me out there, Maya?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Like I said, I think we had a little technical difficulty. I think that's due to the weather change. Here's everybody tonight. I hope that you're well and being blessed as well as I am being blessed tonight. Again, everyone, we're talking about Kwanzaa, Emoja, the first day of Kwanzaa. It is a very traditional African-American holiday of the seven principles, and we're just delighted that we can go on and talk a little bit about our beautiful, illustrious time of day. For a whole week, we're going to be talking about what you and I have accomplished as a race of people. We're going to talk about how we, as one, are God's chosen ones, and we are going to be responsible. Hello, Melanie. We're going to be responsible for bringing our communities, our societies back up to the appropriate and standards of excellence, progress. Right now, we have a desperation that's going on, and we need to straighten out. So, again, let me talk a little bit about, if I can, then I'm going to ask all my guests to speak out and shout out and tell me what's going on. So your mics are going to be on. And if I ask you to you know, pipe it down, I appreciate if y'all would do that for me all as well. Thank y'all very much for joining us. We got our regular guest on tonight. We got the angry activist who just hung up for a minute. I think she just told me that she had something to do, but we'll be right back. We also got our sister from Oklahoma City, the chairperson here in Oklahoma City of the Fred Hampton Gun Club, our sister Maya, she's here, and so got brother James. Again, he'll be back. I think I actually disconnected those two, but again, we're not going to let that stop us or detain us from our progress because I know they can hear us even though they're not on the air with us right now. So be blessed, everyone. So let me say, first of all, like brother Tupac said, I ain't mad at ya. I ain't mad at ya. Y'all. I'm just having fun tonight. Y'all gotta realize, man, it's time to have fun when it's time to have fun. All praise be to God. All right, y'all. Now, let me talk a little bit about Kwanzaa here, and then we're going to move on and take questions and also ask people to get involved because, again, y'all, this is y'all's show. I'm just sitting as your host with the most. I don't run anything, and I just think y'all have allowed me to be able to talk to you because by talking to you, I get to at least not talk to myself and at least maybe have to go have my mental faculties checked. So that helps me out as well. Thank y'all very much. Kwanzaa is an African-American holiday celebration, y'all, of culture, Reformation. It is the fastest-growing Swahili language in Africa used today. But now when you think about its greatness and its purpose for the African-American here in the Western Hemisphere of our Kibo land, the land of the dark-skinned people from which we came, when you talk about Kwanzaa here in the United States, we talk about a unique set of circumstances that came about when we as African-Americans were in the trenches of hell, racism, torment, trinity, destruction, and so forth and so on. It was created in 1966 by my brother, Malala Karenga, and he decided, well, it's something that needed to be done. He's also the professor at California University. And he also said, well, it's about time that we did something, especially during the turbulent 60s, when blacks, again, were being discriminated, hung up by their neck, told they were nothing, denied education, couldn't even walk down a certain street at a part of the night, or they had to prove that they had a job to even be walking the street. So, y'all, we've come a long way, but yet we got a long way to go. So if we apply, I believe, these African traditional principles of Kwanzaa, this is going to be a great thing that we can use to forward our progress here as people, wanting our independence, our sovereignty, and our self-respect, which we will no longer allow any race, creed, or color to interfere or prohibit us from actually achieving. So let me say again tonight is Kwanzaa is the first night is Umoja. Now, let me say Habarigani. Habarigani simply means what's the news. So when I say Habarigani, if y'all are out there and y'all can hear me, I want y'all to say Umoja. Again, if I say Habarigani, I'd like you people out there to say Umoja, which, again, what's the news? So, again, y'all Habarigani?
Umoja.
What's the news?
Umoja.
Amen. Okay. All right. All right. Now, let's get a little bit of understanding about Umoja so we can get a little bit of, you know, while we have our listening audience, so they can kind of get a feel about what Kwanzaa is and what Umoja is. Umoja is the first principle of Kwanzaa, and it is the fresh fruits of the Kwaswahili language. It determines unity. That is our first principle of Kwanzaa, which is unity. All right, everybody, if y'all can with me, Habarigani, Umoja, what's the news? All praise are due to God. All right, y'all, so now unity tonight, it's important that we as a people strive together in working for one cord, one human, one life, one mind, one soul. Why? Because we as a community of African-American people have been decimated as a community by famine, disease, lies, half-truths, lack of education, lack of jobs, crack cocaine, other diseases, and so forth and so on. So I think, again, these seven principles came at a time when we needed the most. Again, tomorrow is Kwanzaa, December 26th, and it goes from December 26th to January 1st of the new year. And usually on the 31st, just the day before the new year, we have what you call a Karumu feast. That is where we get together, we talk about the accomplishments of our previous five principles, and we just get a word, another word, we feast to the harvest, okay, in a sense of a joyful time, a relaxation, an appreciation for what we were able to do to sustain ourselves here in the Western Hemisphere of America. So that is important that we understand that. So, again, y'all, I want to thank y'all for giving me an opportunity to speak to y'all about that. We're going to get back on Kwanzaa a little bit more, but before I do, I want to talk a little bit more and go on to the actual seven principles, and then we'll bounce back up and take a few questions and have a few people talk about Umoja. But then the second principle, y'all, of our African ancestors is Kuji Chakalia. Okay, now remember, the first one was Umoja, and the second one is Kuji Chakalia. Kuji Chakalia is self-determination. It requires of us, and we are defining our community interests and make decisions that are the best interests of our family and community. So what that tells me, y'all, now listen carefully, together we can make decisions hands off to any other power that be, anyone else coming into our community and telling us what we need to do or not do. So I think if y'all carefully accept and realize and embrace the seven principles that I'm about to give you, you're going to see their significance each day of the Kwanzaa season. So again, Umoja, Kuji Chakalia, then you have Ujima, collective work, responsibility. It reminds us of the obligation to past, present, and future, and that we have a role to play in our community, society, and the world over, y'all. For many years, we have been told, hey, man, you people are nothing. You contribute nothing to society, to your country, to the world over. But in reality, these same people have kidnapped our African brothers and sisters throughout all the nations, Europe, in Rome, France, Spanish, here in the United States, kidnapped us, and yet we're nothing. I want y'all to think about that. How can a person be nothing, yet you kidnapped us? Obviously, you thought of some kind of world frame of recognition. Even if you put me in your cotton field, as a matter of fact, what you're telling me, not that you just necessarily wanted to enslave me, but hell, you didn't know what you were doing no doggone way. You probably thought cotton was designy or whatever. So, again, we are greatly impressed with importance here in America. So, again, y'all, we got Umoja, Kuji Chakalia, Ujima. Then we have Ujamaa. Cooperative economics. It emphasizes our collective economic strength and encourages us to meet common needs through mutual support. Okay? So the first three was about unity, coming together, self-determination, and collectively working together for economic purposes is concerned. But the fourth Ujamaa tells us the need in collectively collecting our economics, and that we have recognized the strength and encouragement to meet our common needs through mutual support. In other words, it's about supporting one another. But if you recognize you umoja within all the other three is with unity. Without unity, we can't make it happen. Okay? So now, let's go here and say Nia. Nia is the purpose that encourages us to look within ourselves and to select personal goals that are beneficial to the community, y'all. Now think about this. This is something that we as a people need to reflect on as an important to us, that we can look inside ourselves and come up with the perfect goals, determination, respect, and reflection that benefits our community and society as a whole, y'all. So don't ever let anybody tell you that you don't have the mindset or the brains to come in and make things happen for yourself, because, oh, yeah, Master saw that. That's why he brought you to the Western Hemisphere of America, because without you, he would have been lost in the sauce. This still would have been a swamp wasteland, and that's a fact. I mean, I'm not just saying that. Listen to their own anthropologists and archaeologists. Hello, hello, Wendy. How you doing? And so, you know, then, y'all, we come with number five. Actually, number six, Kumba, creativity. It makes us recognize our hidden energies and our strengths to build and maintain, listen, y'all, a strong, vibrant community. Right now, we had not done that. And that's why the power that be, NASA, has taken almost control of us for our whole lifespan since we've been here in the Western Hemisphere, and we've proven that we did not deserve being treated anything different. But now, we're definitely going to let NASA know now that if you think you can continue to run over us, you got another thing coming. I'm going to say that the last one, then we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to get a few questions and answers around these things in these places. But then again, let me say, Imani, faith, focuses on honoring the best of our traditions, y'all. It draws upon the best in ourselves and helps us to strive for a higher level of life and for humanity. By affirming our self-worth and self-strength, our confidence, we have a strong ability to succeed and triumph in our righteous struggle as people chosen by God. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Feel the joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring. Strength is the matter strong. Thanks is for the first fruits of the field. Share light of every joyful spirit.
It was a river. I hear no pharmaceutical. 59 degrees.
Come on,
The intent was not for the African American to be set free or to be independent. The purpose was for us to be continually enslaved, suffering, and death. And for any of us who thought about recognizing our independence and being strong, we were taken out. Why do you think a system was necessary for a slave system to work to be as effective economically as it was to this point if it was not designed to keep us blind, crippled, and crazy? Because they knew an educated black man was someone dangerous that was way out of control. So what they did then, they didn't just recognize corralling or corrupting and denying the education of the African-American adult. Well, our children were the ones who were going to be a leader for tomorrow. So they used the adults of us to tell our children to obey master, to learn the slave codes in the society, in the Bible they wrote, in various other cultures and understandings and education systems. We were taught to be passive, docile, not to talk back, and to turn out the cheek if master slapped you. Okay? Well, we know that's not realistic. That's not rational. But we did it because of what? We were taught that. And believe it or not, the mothers, to prevent us from being sold down the river, she taught us at an early age to obey master. The same lady that he used to put out in them cotton fields from sun up to sundown. Now, so in recognizing all of this, when you start thinking about Kwanzaa again and the seven principles, it starts giving you the independence and realization that this is something that master cannot lay his hands on and say he gave to you. What are your thoughts on that system?
Okay.
You see?
So the way that you broke it down, the way that you broke it down was good, because if we think about, you know, all the things that our ancestors done and all the teachings that they taught us, this right here is a way that we could celebrate, you know, our freedom. We can celebrate who we are, where we came from, our people. And it means that much more to us because we know what they went through to get us to this point that we're at right now. And that's what this is, what they would want us to do, is to celebrate after all of this, even though we still have a long way to go, but we can still celebrate that we've gotten this far. And it makes Kwanzaa gives us an avenue to just be ourselves, to celebrate us as a people.
Now see what you just said there? That's why Massa has a problem with not making, or actually making, Kwanzaa a national holiday, because when you recognize it, just like when you recognize Christmas, Easter, or any of the other Columbus Days and all this is, well, everybody's being in tune to it. Why? Because it is fostered by a government who in turn has the power to make a frog talk or turn twist. So in other words, they know how powerful that would be if they embraced that. And it, again, would have a negative effect and impact on their economic structure. That's why today you see drugs in our community, gangs in our community, killings in our community, lack of education, living in poverty. These are the same people that's targeted, sister, to keep our minds corrupt, crazy, crippled, insane, and our balance. And what does that make for? Slavery, suffering, and death, and if not, a candidate for the jail and prison system. We know today that the jail and prison system is one of the biggest money-making projects here in the United States. So we're going to take a break again right quick, and then I'm going to come right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the first day of Kwanzaa, which is Emoji. And I guarantee you, sister, that your first one is going to blow your socks off, because when you see how together this is our day in recognizing black folks coming together and dancing and singing and educating and eating together and, you know, and trading off just gifts. I mean, if it's a feather, You know, you're coming in, you're putting all your differences to the side. And once you leave that, okay, then you become now one. You see, the importance of stop arguing with each other. Stop trying to get mad at somebody because somebody owes you a dollar. You know, and not being so aloof when somebody say how nice you look or whatever, or, hey, you look good in this ashiki or what have you. These things here can be, if they're immeasurable, they are so profoundly, oh, man, guarding and, oh, man, spiritual life. Let me make a quick exit right quick, because if I don't, they don't be talking, and then they're going to get on me. This is Whitney Houston.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up. Never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Thank y'all for joining us, Power People Radio tonight. Oh, man, y'all, I'm just so elated and so excited. We got a lot of people asking questions on the line tonight, and we're going to ask y'all to bear with us. We're going to get y'all in here. And I'm glad that a lot of y'all just feel good about what you're hearing tonight. I mean, it makes me feel good that I'm able to educate you because, in turn, I'm educating myself. Again, this is y'all's radio show, and, again, it's all about you. It's all about what you need to be hearing and what you need to say. So let me get back again to first principle of quantum. Umoja. Think about that now. That's not an American language. No, it's a Swahili language. So what that means then, at the same time, not only are you studying Kwanzaa, but you're starting to learn a new language, which again is what the world basically is made up of, as various languages, various cultures, various traditions. What that does to give us a connection back to our African ancestors who spoke this language that isn't American. Now, see how this gives us a little bit of more fight, finesse, encouragement, power, wisdom, enthusiasm. Oh, man. I tell you, I'm loving it tonight. Oh, man, I can run a marathon. I knew I wouldn't lose walk, but if I had to cheat, I'd make everybody flip. But anyhow, y'all, Kwanzaa, again, is very important because, like, again, with Umoja, we are coming in and we're learning about our great ancestors, the principles that they taught, left behind, to ensure that we were not totally left into a blind world of negativity. What do you think about this, Sister Maya?
I'm sorry, my headset was messing up. Can you repeat that for me?
Yeah, I said Kwanzaa, due to the Swahili language, is giving us an opportunity to where we can express our African culture, something, a unique language, principles that were left behind by our ancestors so that we would not be totally left in the blind and have a way out from our slave master. So what do you think about this?
I feel like as far as us coming together, that's the one thing that I want to see in our community is the unity happen. And I feel like the unity between other people that want to see the nation grow. I hope I'm answering the question right. The unity between our people and organizations on the same page is what we need. And that first day of Kwanzaa really is like the foundation, if I'm interpreting this right, it's the foundation for the whole meaning of the, I wouldn't say holiday, of the actual celebration of Kwanzaa.
There you go.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What I'm going to ask you, so Kwanzaa also means, sister, including our gun clubs, it includes our communities where a person lives, it includes us working together. So why do you think all these various aspects are important for us to recognize our independence in a society that has basically clobbered us every time we try to stand up?
These principles, like as far as, you know, I was talking about unity, us coming together, you know, is a big thing. That right there is going to push us forward into, you know, building our, you know, black nation up, even, you know, people that are in poverty, our gun clubs, other organizations like NAACP, any of those, and even our smaller, you know, businesses or black businesses coming together, you know, and really making it about building us up. And having, you know, having a sense of pride of who we are, self-determination, as far as that, you know, we have to be determined to make this vision happen. So first being unified first, or, you know, having unity is the first key. Once we do that, self-determination right there, we're all on the same page. We're all trying to compromise and make these things happen in the community, with self-determination on every end of the black nation, from our, you know, black businesses to our gun clubs to smaller organizations to our community to our, you know, people, you know, on the other side of the world, you know what I mean? And our purpose, if we understand our purpose while we're here and we work in that, then we can work better together. So, yeah, we have to be defensive. Yes, we have to have our defensive side as far as our gun clubs. But we also have to have our teachers, our doctors, our educators. We have to have those in place also. So it's very complex, and they all work together. It kind of lines up in my head when I, you know, think about it. It lines up. Hello?
No, I'm here. Go ahead. Somebody's trying to call in. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, as far as creativity, we have to, you know, it's not going to be something easy for us to take different beliefs or different views about, you know, how we live our lives in the black nation, but us being creative enough to make, you know, to come together at a certain point for a purpose and put our differences aside and making new ideas and creating new ideas where we can grow. It may not be all for one side, like, hey, you know, you may not like this, you may like this or you may not like this, but we are coming together to actually accomplish something. And then just faith. I mean, that's the end of it. I mean, that last day, having faith that the work that we're doing is going to keep pushing us forward.
Faith.
It's going to keep us going. Like, that right there is like the icing on the cake, you know what I mean, after we've done all the work. We just have to keep doing it until we see something being produced out here from the, you know, from the work that we're doing.
Okay, and if you notice, like I was saying earlier, Umoja is in all seven stripes, in all seven principles.
Yes, sir.
Think about that now. So, brother was uniquely inclined when he put these seven principles, African principles, they already, he didn't create them on his own. Now, let me let y'all understand this here. This is our reawakening, our real connection to what our ancestors taught and believed in, sister, that was divine and kept from us, because if this was given to us during the slave passages and the transatlantic slave trade, we would be in a totally different set of circumstances today. You follow me? So thereby, now that we had our interest in our own independence and our African connection to our ancestors, who are uniquely the profound philosophers, the engineers, the archaeologists, the technicians, the mummifying their remains, the first democracy on earth. You follow what I'm getting at? So he tried to make us believe that we didn't come from anything like this. So in other words, to make his system effective, he had to rob you of your language, your God, your religion, your land, your home, your independent thought. And when he gave us the shambles that we're talking about, we were totally washed away, because if we did not believe in his principle, we became whipped, harmed, and our ancestors stood and watched while a brother was pulled from one end of one horse to another, totally ripped apart. So naturally, that caused the spirit of the pregnant female to have an emotional miscarriage. And even when the child is born, she already knows what to do, because if you don't, then what you saw earlier is going to happen to that. And am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
So this is what I want y'all to know out here that's listening to what we're doing. We're not just accepting Kwanzaa, and I didn't just put it on for 11 straight years just to be doing it. I put Kwanzaa on for the years that I have been, because Kwanzaa is essential to us breaking free the shackles of slavery, suffering, and death. Let me take a break, and I'll be right back. Yours truly here. This is your brother, the Tree Shaker, Michael Washington.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. All right, Brother Bomani is finally getting back and joined us again. Brother, I'm sure you're probably listening, but what we are doing is talking about our great, unique, prosperous, oh, man, so well-refined seven principles of Kwanzaa. The seven principles of Swahili, everybody that's listening, is called Nguza Saba.
Nguza Saba, the seven principles, yes.
Yes, that's what that means. So I was telling the sister and brother before you came back on, Brother Goldmine, that not only is this giving us a reconnection to our ancient, lovable, refined, wise, great ancestors, but it's also giving us a unique reunification with the language that they taught, that they spoke, and we ourselves are united with a language that was totally foreign to us. So now we are coming back, not only learning about the first seven principles, we're also learning about how we can use a language outside of what Master taught us to say. This is unique and important to us because, as everybody knows, no disrespect, the American language is a bastard language. You got the Portuguese a piece of it. You got the Greek portion of it. You know, you got Spanish portion of it. Y'all, well, now why? Why? Listen carefully, y'all. Listen at the fiber importance and unity of these folks learning about their own language, their culture, and own individuality, but in one American system, no matter if you say Johnny ran to the store, all of them is aware of it and embrace it in their culture because they taught each one of them to learn it in their own language, even those under the American field. Think about it. We're the only race here in nationality in America that don't know about ours. But these seven principles of a Nguza Saba is what's going to reawaken that fire within us. That's going to give us that determination to be independent, to be strong, to come up with ideas and ideologies, to get ourselves out of that crux we in. Seven principles for 7 days? Y'all have, bear with me just a second, y'all gonna be out of the floor. 7 days? Think about it. Umoja. Kunta Chakalia. Ujima. Ujama. Mia. Kumba. Imani. Come on, man. For 7 days. But as we were talking about Brother Bomani before you came back on, we are talking about Umoja being interwoven in all seven principles, meaning unity. So self-preservation is the first law of nature. Again, thank you, Rachel, for joining us, and we hope that you're enjoying the show. Thank you. Okay, now, let's go back to Umoja one more time. Unity, what is the importance of Umoja? Unity stresses the importance of togetherness for the family and the community, which is reflected in African saying, I am we, or I am because we are. Okay? Neither one of us can exist on our own. We must embrace, accept, and respect each other. This is what the seven Nguza Saba principles are for, to reestablish that trust, that firm responsibility and respect that we've been missing. Okay? I want to run briefly to it for more money, and I'm going to give you the floor because, again, somebody's asked me to go through it. They just got on with us, and they want us to, want me to say a little bit of morning, and then I'm going to give you the floor. Everybody want to speak. Thank you, Sister Maya. She's done a great job, and we're recognizing. So we talked about Kunta Chakalia. Listen, y'all, self-determination requires that we define our common interests and make decisions that are the best interests of our family and community. See, I keep coming back to family and community. You can't do one without the other. And if you try to embrace one without the other, you get ran over like a hot potato in an oven.
because our children are our future. NASA don't worry about you and me no more. Because, see, we're on our way out. So in order to keep his slave system intact, what does he do? He robbed the mindset and the mental capability of our babies. Because if they come up learning and believing that they have to be slaves and they can't be any accomplish anything on their own, well, they don't have to worry about this. Let me get rid of clothes, y'all, so we can have to get rid of the wrongness. You got Ujima, which is the third one. Listen, y'all. Collective work and responsibility reminds us of our obligations to the past, present, and future, and that we have a role to play in the community, society, and the world. Now, why would a person not want principles that's telling you to be independent, self-governing, self-determination, autonomy from all others? Who would, only a fool would not want something like this? Ujamaa, cooperative economics, emphasizes our collective economic strength and encourages us to meet the common need through our mutual support. That's self-sustaining, y'all. That's the self-governing principles that the white supremacist power that be use today, which is why they run the world. They use our own principles, y'all, to make us think that they are the ones who came up with it. That's why they have an aloofness upset at us when we realize, sucker, you learned everything from me. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. NIA. Purpose encourages us to look within ourselves and see the personal goals that we benefit to our community, man. Am I making sense? Wow. And think about it. Now, Kumba, which is the sixth principle, creativity. It makes us for a perspective, creative energy to build and maintain our strong, vibrant community, man. Look at our decimated communities today. Man, let me tell y'all something. We don't have our community no more. We are what you call fit-ins. You don't have black communities no more. You fit in now because you have these white supremacists who come in now through gentrification, and basically put us in small sections within our communities now. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because we turned our heads. And God himself had told he was upset he had to turn his back on the children of Israel. Why? Which is us. Because we abandoned our principles of thought, progress, oneness, greatness, unity. Oh.
No, we didn't abandon them. We did not abandon those principles. We were attacked.
We're going to let you finish just a second. Let me get the last one out of this. Faith focuses on honoring the best of our tradition, draws upon the best in ourselves, and helps us to strive for a higher level of life for humanity. By affirming our self-worth, our independence, confidence in our ability to succeed, to triumph in righteousness of our struggle. We're going to take our break right back soon. When we come back, we're going to let Brother Bomani. He said we did not abandon him, so we're going to give him the floor when we get back. We're going to kick it back a little bit again with my sister Whitney Houston. Again, I believe our children are our future. This is yours truly. The host with the most. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Everybody's searching for heroes. people need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be, and so I learned to depend on me.
Brother Bomani, who says that just before we took a break that we did not abandon our principles. So we will let him give us a little bit of insight of what it meant by that, and hopefully we can all start biting in, y'all. I mean, that's the purpose of the show. I knew we were going to get somebody out here in a minute to start the controversy, so that's what we're looking for. Come on, man. Brother Bomani, talk to me. What's up?
Yeah. We can just look back to the examples of our ancestors coming out of enslavement. You know, in the era when we came out of enslavement, we practiced the principles of unity, you know, of self-determination, of cooperative economics. These were the basic principles in which were why we were attacked by those who didn't want to see us prosper, who didn't want to see us get on without them. So they attacked us not once, but countless times. There's countless examples of our using the principles of the Nguzasabo and being attacked for our successful implementation of these principles. It brings prosperity. So we've had several examples, Black Wall Street, Greenwood. You know, that was one of the greatest examples of the Nguzasabo's principles being applied and working for our benefit. So we just have to understand that we have to take the principles of the Nguzasabo, and we have to expand our understanding of the political aspect of things. This is a cultural practice, but we have to understand the political implications or ramifications of what we got going on. You know, self-determination is a political stance. You know, it allows people to freely choose their political status.
Okay.
And once you are free to choose your political status, well, from there comes your economics, your social and your cultural development.
Right.
So that's where the Nguzasabo has to come in on a political level, on the local level, for us as a people to start taking advantage of our cultural powers that we have, that will give us the economic foundation that we need. You know, that'll repair our social dysfunctions that we have. So we do have the tools that we need to rebuild ourselves, but we have to understand these tools. We have to have the proper information to use these tools, these political weapons, even. They're political weapons because they will destroy the system that's right now. Our mere withdrawal of consent is the weapon that they fear most.
Well, right. Now let me ask you a question. We got a person on the line. They want to know, why is it, although these principles are present, and you say we have the economic strength, it still has done us no good because the unity, Emoja, Coochie Chocolate, and those principles are not working because we have nothing and we can basically call our own. Because she heard me say a while ago, her name is Vivian, by the way, she heard me say a while ago that we are only specks in our own black communities. So she's one of
that we're only what?
Specks. In other words, you just a fit in now. You don't own your black community no more. Not down in my part, let's say Oklahoma, Chicago, a few other places. You know, you just fit in now because why? Gentrification is coming and taking over. She's also living in her community. Has seen gentrification come in and close down schools, restaurants for the sake of big business. So she's wanting to know why is it with all these principles have we failed to come in and take a Nabucco Saba to change our media conditions?
A lack of commitment. That's all. We've had a lack of commitment to the overall vision of the Nabucco Saba on a whole, as far as community-wise. I mean, maybe. But 2 out of 10 practice these principles. That's not enough. We're going to have at least 6 out of 10. We're going to need at least majority to begin practicing these principles, because unity is the first thing. So we're going to have a collective agreement, a social compact, a constitution, if you will, a code of conduct that we all agree on and that we act from. That'll be the first piece, the Umoja. That'll give us the foundation to build on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the lack of a lack of commitment to these principles that we're having, the issues that we're having right now. We need more committed brothers and sisters to practice these principles.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, you're trying to start them. Hold on, who is this 812 on the line? I need you got something. Who is this? Area code 812-671? Who is that? I guess he or she just want to listen in. Are you there? All right, well, who is this 111? Oh, brother over in Africa. Okay. Where is that? Morocco? Cool. All right. So, Sister Maya, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so let me talk to you a little bit about this. Since you're a hard-nosed worker, and you definitely have proven the importance and see the need in economics, let me go with Ujamaa with you. Cooperative economics emphasizes our collective economic strengths and encourages us to meet common needs through mutual support. What does that mean to you?
I see that as I always push that first one out. Like, we have to be united in order to actually go with what we're planning to do. Like you were saying, that unity falls within all of them. And right there, we have to come together, create these new visions that line up with where we're trying to go. It's just, they all revolve around unity. That's all I'm seeing is nothing but unity, and that is something that we lack. I'm sorry, I keep going back to that first one, but I can't help it. You know, it just screams unity. We can't do anything until that one comes, and just being open-minded to the fact that we have a lot of work to do, and we all have to come together. I'm still going to unity.
Come on, Bob Momani, will say what?
That's where it starts. We have to come together, y'all. We got to get together.
Damn.
That's the first order of business.
Look at that.
We can't eat together until we come together, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. So, did you hear what you just said, man? Why do you think the powers that be run Europe, Spain, Russia, China, even Asians?
They're organized, unified.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello?
But see, you know what? Unity is a small, you know, everybody thinks we all got to be together. Not all of us have to be together, but enough of us have to be together and organize in order to be a benefit to our people. Because everybody is not in the United States military. Everybody's not in the police department. Everybody's not in Congress.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's unity in different areas. but we need solidarity as a people to support each of these areas.
Amen. Amen. Okay. See, you just said that we need the unity. Watch this here. Y'all listen. The ideology is Brother Coringa in 1966 introduced the seven principles of the Abuja Sava to a community he saw was decimated, desperate, lost, and dependent upon its slave masters for guidance. That's why I say, oh, y'all, that's not 450 years. That's not working anymore. Here, embrace these principles that they stole from you and that they apply to perfection, but they're doing everything to cripple your understanding by having your arguments tighten against each other. So I'm saying to y'all, and somebody can take a thought to this, listen to one of the big major concerns in y'all, unity is great, but if we don't have the faith of a mustard seed to understand, draw, and feel ourselves in our Imani faith, we don't know where it's at. Somebody talk to me on that. What's going on?
Imani is, you're right, that would be the glue. That would be what holds it all together, you know.
Damn.
You got to have confidence.
Damn.
You got to have confidence in order to step out there and do something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is another word for confidence. So we're definitely going to have to we're going to have to instill faith in each other by our practices, by saying things and doing what we say, you know, by saying something and meaning what we say. You know, these things will build on the faith principle. People will start to know you for things, and then they'll have faith that you'll do what you say when you say, because you're known for that. So these are practices that we're going to have to start building amongst ourselves, you know, one at a time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, now, but now, did you see how beautiful this brother crafted the end and begin together? And once again, how he so naturally connected umoja in all seven. He keeps continually saying, you and your community. Without each other, we don't survive. I'm going to take a break, y'all. We still got a little bit of time.
Check it out.
But when I get back, we're going to have some more fun. This is your guy. Appreciate that.
Wintertime, people pay full price for them all day long. But Patriot Wholesale Club has way too many of these sitting inside of their warehouse, and they need to get rid of them to make room for new inventory. So they're going to put them on ultra clearance. Now, why would you want this? So here's an emergency sleeping bag completely laid out, 7 feet long, 3 feet wide. Inside is a special reflective material that makes sure that 90% of your body heat stays trapped inside of you. So if you're ever caught in an exposure to the element situation, it's going to keep you nice and warm. Plus, it's waterproof, windproof, and then it is stretchy too. So that means that you can go ahead and slide in here and you're protected from almost any kind of a situation. So here's why I like these. You can put these things in bug out bags. You can sit them in the back of your car. You can even put them in your glove box, where they're super handy. You have one or two or even four inside of here. And, you know, this is going to protect you from the number one killer in the disaster, according to FEMA. So while they're still available, while there's still inventory, I suggest you grab one. But you have to act quick. They don't have an unlimited supply of these. And so when the supplies run out, this deal is over. So go ahead, click the button, and get a couple of them for friends and family. But do it now, because you're never going to know when you need this.
All right, y'all, we back. It ain't the whack. It sure ain't Jack. No, I'm going to mess with y'all. All right, y'all, we're having a very beautiful time tonight. We are learning the very essential principles of the Nabuza Saba. Now, just think about it. When your brother and sister start using the word Nabuza Saba, brother, oh, you're talking about seven principles, aren't you? Are you talking about Umoja? It's like learning a new language all over again. So with that new language come a confidence and perfection that you didn't even know was there. Why? Because you're basically being released from a psychological warfare that's controlled your very thoughts, your ideas, your movement, your intellect.
That's well put.
Come on, man. Come on, y'all.
That's,
so now,
that is so
when
true.
You see, come on. Come
that
on.
Is language. Well, language is very important. You know,
sure.
We're speaking another tongue, a foreign tongue now, and that unifies people. Language unifies. So by simply speaking the language of Swahili, we're doing something that unifies us, and it gives us faith because.
Ooh, give me the chill.
Because you know, for somebody to learn Swahili, that means they're committed to it. You know that they've studied it. And when you're able to communicate with somebody else who's been studying the language, that connects you. That means you're on the same page. You know, now you're more invested. You're more committed to the struggle, to our victory. You know, these are cultural weapons that we can utilize to destroy that which has been set against us in a language that they can't understand. You know, we definitely need our own. We definitely got to have our own unifying language, our own language for resistance and for culture. So these are the tools that we have at our disposal that we can begin implementing right now.
Well, okay.
We're the ones who dictate the flow. It's on us what we learn.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're the ones who are able to you know, set up our own curriculums. We got to have Saturday schools, Sunday schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's such thing as night school, Zoom school now.
Come on,
you know.
It's
just on us and our will, what we will do, what we want to do, what we desire to do, what we organize to do.
Okay.
So, it's on us. This is our time to shine. Please
do. Let me tell you something, brother. You are right on point. Let me say this here. I want to ingrain this in all y'all's mindset. Again, thank you, Beverly. From Wichita Falls, Texas. That's my mother from there. You might know her. No, youngster, you too young. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, y'all. Now, let me say it like this here, brother. You're absolutely on point. With Kwanzaa, think about it, y'all. Our African principles are oblique. And all these other great structures, skyscrapers, are in a ruin in American society in every city and state. You have some connection to black masons who constructed great monument buildings and stone structures and things, brothers and sisters. Are y'all not hearing me? Are y'all ready for this one? I'm going to scare a lot of y'all that's listening. Did you know the Pope of Rome, listen carefully, represents in his basement the black Madonna and child? Man, don't spoil nothing with me. I wasn't trying to tell y'all that. Tell me they don't know what's really going on, really? In St. Petersburg Church of Rome, the Pope recognized the black Madonna and child as his Lord and Savior. Get out of here, man. Don't start with me. I'm not lying to y'all. Go look it up on the internet. Come on, man. So we know this, but yet our minds have been washed so severely, so taintedly, that we refuse to see the light when you say, it's the truth. Oh, well, so what? That was then. This is now. Oh, it ain't affecting me now. That's the way they want it, man. I don't know if you love this. Let me give y'all a book to read tonight. One of my beautiful scientists, historian, archaeologist, John Henry Clark. Man, I'm going to quit messing with y'all. And if you want to get out of economic struggle, I know y'all know about Brother Clark. Anderson, if you listen to that brother, he's got an economic plan that's wicked. Again, thank you again, brothers and sisters from Africa that's listening in, and Brother 812, whoever you are. I see that y'all been tuning in and staying with us. So now tell me something now, Brother Bomani. Let me say this right quick, though. When you say Kwanzaa, We talk about being able to play our African drums the way our black brothers and sisters did. We come and wearing dashikis and doing the libations and, you know, recognize our principles of blackness, refined pan-Africanism, colors, discussion of African people of great days and chapters of black history and candle lighting and rituals, performances. You trying to tell me, brother, it's not going to shake your spirit? You have to be a blind, crazy person not to want to be set free from it.
That's what oppression does to us. That's exactly what oppression has done to us. It has made us so we don't even want to associate ourselves with anything that reminds us of ourselves.
It's like, oh, we're doing too much. And that's not even, we don't need to do none of that. Just want them to not celebrate who we are as a people, so they just kind of downplay it or say it's crazy or they doing too much. And you know, and it's not any of that. It's celebrating us.
Listen. Come on, let's keep going. I'm listening to you. I'm just fired up when you speak.
Yeah, and it's celebrating us as a people. I didn't grow up, you know, celebrating Kwanzaa. You know, like I said earlier, this is my first one. And, you know, it really, you know, how it was broke down, it really all works together for the empowerment of us. You know, it's nothing that's over the top. It's just us expressing ourselves, you know, just like they express themselves 4th of July or Christmas or any other holiday, you know, that they want to celebrate. Kwanzaa is celebrating us. It's not celebrating everything that's going on. It's created by us. It's for us. So, you know, it. Don't be afraid of it. You know what I mean? Just
embrace
it. You said a mouthful.
Embrace it. It's natural.
It's beautiful. It is. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first Kwanzaa. My first Kwanzaa, it was in 1999. A friend invited me to come to their church, and they were doing a Kwanzaa celebration. It was the day after Christmas. And I'm like, sure, why not? So I went out there and had a great time. I'm talking about this church. This church is was one of those. They had a theater department. You know, they had they had a lot of funding. They were some well-to-do Negroes that really knew how to put on a show. They had the lighting. They had everything, and they did it.
Man.
I'm talking. They did it.
Wow.
And I was so impressed that I started practicing. I took on the I really started looking into it. And, I've been celebrating and observing these principles ever since.
Hey, you know what? That's what I was trying to tell y'all today, when bringing up Kwanzaa and letting this be a topic for the broadcast tonight. Because look how his just talking about it tonight has basically just gave us that energy that we basically needed. So you know that you can have your own hands-on doctrine, your own manifestation, without master having given you anything. You follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about this is something that you developed. Your principle, your foundation, your rules, your regulation, your dress, your drums, your art. Come on, man. And then they're using everything themselves to make you think that they gave you that. And if we did not know about the Ngunza Saba, the seven principles, we would be thinking, yeah, Master gave us every doggone thing that we got, even our shoes that we wear. But now, the people who don't know, you can rest believe that they're going to have a different set of ideas now. They're going to have a history and teaching and study that he's going to be able to send Master to school now. And he won't be able to control him no more. Did y'all know the biggest thing? White America is the education of a young black kid who needs to talk early, know about his culture, his language, his God, great ancestors, great principle, great tunes, civilizations before coming to the Western Hemisphere? Man, y'all better take control before I get a little bit of shouting up in here saying hallelujah.
Yeah, you seem to forget that we've always been in the Western Hemisphere. We're a global people.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. We're a global people.
Yeah, well,
we're everywhere.
We're
everywhere.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And then, let me tell y'all something while we're on the topic, too. Y'all can take the floor. They had us believing, listen, everybody, they had us believing that black magic is terrible. Hell, our families in Africa, our people, use black magic to heal the sickness and the diseases and things.
Oh,
come on, man. They ain't trying to give it all up, man. I ain't trying to give it that no more. Man, I'm trying to tell you, if you don't know any better, I'm trying to tell y'all, they'll make you, your great past, make you feel like it's a scar upon your reality.
Mm-hmm.
It only became a problem. Come on, somebody. Come on.
I just want to make a comment on Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
Is that created by Ron Karenga?
Yeah, 1966, uh-huh.
From out there in Oakland, California. That man was with an organization that was a terrorist. He's killing black folks. He was was torturing black women, hanging them upside down, putting cigarettes to their
skin.
I don't know how much he is.
Okay, now,
I don't allow my kids
to
celebrate that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Great,
did you say?
We love you to be able to come up with your ideas, brother. But
they know our idea is true. Read it.
Hold on, brother. Now, you're talking to a historian. If you give me a minute, then don't leave. I won't keep you on line for a minute. Now, if you jump off a building, do you think I'm going to jump on it? So, again, brother, the argument
you
have
what?
Is very weak. I say, if you jump off a building, do you think I'm going to jump off because you did? No, I would be stupid, wouldn't I?
Well, no.
So
if we can take, if you can. Well, he's a criminal. You can't do that, honestly. My kids are not going to celebrate. If we told them we can't follow Robert, we can't follow Judge Moore, you got to be, you can't be hypocritical. And besides that, they're my kids.
We're going to let you say, can I sleep a minute, brother? Don't leave because we're here so that you tell us why you feel that way. But I want you to understand this here. If that's the case, you better get out of all the clothes and shoes and the cars you're driving because I'm saying white masters of yours build every car you're driving, every food you eat. Watch it now. You're talking to a great one here. See?
Every dollar you're spending.
You want to try to keep people's mind in the gutter.
All the stuff your kids are being taught in school, they being taught about them too.
There
come
ain't
on,
no
that's
Kishwahili
that's
word. Kishwahili doesn't even have a dictionary. You guys being bamboozled. Bamboozled.
Oh, okay. Now,
Kishwahili is the language, brother.
What are you
talking about?
With that. So try to get back on board because we can do a show on that.
People
so
in
right
West
now,
Africa don't speak no Swahili.
Okay, brother. Once again, we're not going to let you control the show. I'll let you say what you wanted to say. We're going to get back on track.
So well, I'm getting ready to hang up, but
okay.
I appreciate the opportunity, but no way my kids are celebrating that.
Okay,
we're taking
brother.
It out of
you
school
have a good day now.
In our community.
Okay, brother.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good day now. All right. Be blessed, man. Yeah, anyway, y'all, back to what we were saying.
Hold on, big brother.
Mm-hmm.
Let me speak to what he was saying about the brother Milana Karenga. They were attacked by COINTELPRO. You know, that was a government program to bring dissension among our organizations that were seeking to bring about the liberation of our people. So, you know, to just go ahead and give a blanket statement like that without any understanding about the era and times in which the brothers were operating in is irresponsible. And just to take one book that somebody read and say that that's the facts when you weren't there is, you know, that's pretty...
Small, man.
That's we can do better than that. We're going to have to do better than that. We're going to do some research.
Just like you just said a while ago, the idea was to detract from the unity that we were talking about in black folks coming together, being independent, being strong. But like you say with COINTELPRO, COINTELPRO even destroyed the Black Panthers, the Nation of Islam, any black group that became a threat with a black messiah coming from among its ranks. You had people, infiltrators, lying and saying these folks were doing different things and all this. So, again, you have to have a history, like you said. You just can't trace something because you heard something from Master told you.
Now, what I will say about the brother Milana Karinga is that he's not practicing what I would consider to be sound principles for black wealth building, intergenerational wealth building. He is practicing marriage outside of our group, our kind. So that was the issue I had with the brother, you know. But that doesn't take away from the actual principles that we have. You know, we have principles that we need.
We're talking about Kwanzaa, not about who did it, who didn't do something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Control the conversation even though it's not here, y'all. That's not what we're here for. If we did that, then every time we did something, you get off track and you forget what you came for. So, again, our point in this conversation discussion is that we are trying to get our black people, anything that can help me, I don't care about somebody can be the dangerous killer in the world. And if it's something I feel is going to draw me to the attention and bring in my black sisters and brothers out when everything else has failed me, and it's approved already, in fact, that Kwanzaa has been a great tool of inspiration and direction.
A benefit. Yes. That's what I was saying. I mean, even though I don't agree with him, I see the benefit in what he brought to us. You know, I don't agree with his personal decisions, but I'm grateful for his academic work when he went over there and brought forth these principles. That was A-plus work. He did a great job.
Let me take a break, and I'll be right back. We're going to cut it off right there, and I'll let you show the floor. Right, the power that be, y'all don't know nothing about that. This is your guy, the tree shaker, Michael Washington, Keep a Power Radio. The radio show that belongs to you, the radio show that you direct me in my travels and in all my discussions. Y'all got a topic? I know what you need to do. Hit me up. 405-882-6478. 882-6478. Or you can call 2489. Everybody knows now, Christmas is almost over. It's now about the seven principles of an inclusive topic. Yeah. Principles that's going to break us from the shackles of slavery, suffering, and death. We're back, y'all. We're back. You got the tree shaker. It's your guy, the host with the most, Michael Tree Shaker Washington. We're right here again at People Power Radio. We're talking about a historical perspective. We're talking about Manala Karenga creating Kwanzaa, the Buddha Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And in 1966, it's when it occurred, during a time when social upheaval was the norm of the day for the African-American community. So we're here with some beautiful guests. Sister Maya from Oklahoma City. We got Brother Bomani from South Carolina. And we have another host from Washington, D.C. The angry activist suddenly came back. Then we have a brother from Africa that's our special guest in the studio. And those two decide to remain silent, and they're just listening in. And we just thank y'all for being a part of the broadcast tonight. We're definitely having fun. So, again, y'all, let's get back to where we are. Now, so, Samaya, talk to me. Tell me what you've got so far tonight. How do you feel about what you heard?
I feel great. It's really exciting to really get the breakdown of the whole celebration of Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this is my first one. And so, like, I've done my research on Kwanzaa, but really getting to that point to where I'm celebrating Kwanzaa, like, really digging into, you know, the principles, it was beautifully, you know, beautifully explained to us tonight of how important they are, what the importance of each one is, and the fact that it is very powerful when it's used in different, you know, situations or aspects of the movement, and even also in your personal life. And the big thing that I see is celebration. Like, you know, I didn't grow up with having known anything about Kwanzaa. I was later on when I became an adult that I really was like, what is this? What is that? Really digging into my culture because I wasn't taught that. I was more washed out, you know, in society. Sad to say that, but it's the truth. Until I, you know, really was like, who am I? Where did I come from? Where are my people? You know, what is this? What is that? And Kwanzaa is like, I want to hold on to it. Like a present, it's like, I don't want it to go because it's so much power behind it. It gives you you know, you get a meaning and purpose, you know, in life. It really does, you know, give you that, you know, push and drive. Like, we're, you know, celebrating Kwanzaa. It's about us. It's about our people, you know.
Yes, it is.
It's something that everybody should teach their child because it's pure excellence when, you know, we celebrate together.
Yes. Oh, man. Eating at the same table, giving libations, recognizing great people of in America that were black. You don't just have to recognize about some African. You don't have to worry about some Swahili or Mongolian or anything like that. I mean, if you say Ashe, you know, Sister Rosa Parks, Ashe, that's what the libations are. Malcolm X, Ashe. That's what we, every time we pronounce a name, that's what we would say, Ashe. Harriet Tubman, Ashe. My mother, Ashe. Because they are the fiber that organize society as a whole. Come on, brother, but Monty, talk to me. What's up? Yeah.
Well, I'm just enjoying the whole energy, the vibe, the, you know, the love. That's what I really enjoy about Kwanzaa is the love of Kwanzaa, the love of self and kind, you know, the expression of our people, of our long overdue freedom to be us, to do us as we choose, you know. We can choose any language. It doesn't have to be Swahili. As long as it's a language that we are choosing, that we are doing. But I think Swahili is a perfect language for the use of unification of melanated original people, you know, of our original people, no matter where we are. Because it is an international language. It is used in many nations and countries in Africa. You know, several in East Africa, South Africa, and, you know, he's right. There's not too many in West Africa, but it's used, and that's the beauty of it. We can use it. So we have options. We have options. You know, we can establish something and call it our own because we established it here, now. And that's the power of the people. That's the power of self-determination. And that's what this is an example of. This is an example of self-determination on a cultural level.
That's it.
Yes.
Listen to what you're saying, brother. When you can come back, listen now, right today, these white supremacists still and Asians now taking over their imperialist practices in Africa. Why do you think they still don't want to leave, man? That's the land of opportunity. That's what the Bible was spoke about when they say the Garden of Eden. They don't start nowhere different than this.
85% of the world's resources.
Yes, what?
85% of the world's resources come out of Africa.
Hello, man.
I see.
Why do you see now why I got to keep you blind, crippled, and crazy? Why I got to move you out and I'm putting Chinese skyscrapers and things over there and putting you in your own jail and prison from jail that I'm building in your own country and stuff, man? Moving you off your property so I can put other irrigation plants and stuff like this over there? Are you kidding me? Factories? Engineering plants and stuff of this nature? People are not realizing what's going on, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You have the world want to, and at 2.3% of the world's population is from Africa. Two-thirds of the world population is in Africa, in Asia, right there. The remaining one-third feed off of Africa. We feed Europe. We feed Rome. We feed the Caucasus Mountain. We feed people all over. Y'all not hearing me, man. We got gold, uranium, copper, silver.
And we're not even talking about that. The fishing rights of Africa is being sucked up by nations that are far away from Africa. You have China over there. You have Japan over there. You have a lot of people fishing in the ocean, the seas of off the coast of Africa.
Sure. The language is speaking. Man, that's what I'm trying to tell you. See, let me tell y'all what they don't know about it, but after a lot of people are getting this, let me try to clear the table right for some of this. Africa is a vast country that speaks about 600 different languages, okay? So you can be from Botswana, and I can be from Watusi tribe, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's speaking like foreign language to me. You understand what I'm saying, y'all? So what I'm trying to tell y'all, we have a vast number of various cultural languages of people there. And some of the original people, believe it or not, let me share a lot of you too, was the Pygmies. They were some of the most dangerous, independent, self-refined people that when the Europeans come over and say, oh, man, we better leave these people alone. They're too damn dangerous. Look, we'll go all the way around here. So there's still some parts of Africa today, y'all. Don't let the people lie to y'all. It has not been pillaged or plumaged. There's some today. There's never been there. But the main point of it is just like in America, we have ghetto communities there too. And I blame a lot of our ancestors, kings, princes, and things like that, who's responsible because they're some of the greedy, dogmatic people who allow the foreigners to come in, who has invaded our country for more than 3,775 years, to come in and say, look at what you can do for me if you give me some of your slaves. Look at this opulent lifestyle you can live in. But we already had it before they got there. Did y'all know that I'm going to be out of flow? Did y'all know that gold and silver and stuff was so profound that they even dressed their dogs and necklaces and things with gold and measure it was so profoundly accessible? Yes.
So abundant.
The shoes are made of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It was an abundance of all these things.
Oh,
you know,
man, that's why they're over there today.
Fields of diamonds. So you go around there, you can kick a diamond.
Oh, man. They play baseball with diamonds. It's so popular over there, so accessible. Oh, man, what do you mean? Yes. This is what I'm trying to tell y'all. That's why it's necessary that we not feel that we can be in a country that God told Abraham, your seed would be in a strange country for 400 years. They would serve the master. But after the master served, the master should serve them. So what I'm trying to say, y'all, y'all got to, the African culture principles, teachings that you in the Bible, they are African principles, y'all. I want to tell y'all that that's your language. That's your edicts. That's your education. If you look at the first precepts of the Bible, the first knowledge is Cush. Ham, Japheth. We're talking about over there, not in the Middle East, but in the central heart of Africa, y'all. You heard about the four rivers of Havilah and those rivers coming out of the land Cush? That's talking about, the symbolically speaking, they're talking about the various people of color coming in and robbing us of our life source. If you don't know
you
how
know,
to break the Bible things down, go ahead, brother. What's that?
You know, I can appreciate the biblical stories that we have and that we can use to express certain ideas. And I guess the most powerful one is the example of Yahshua, of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he was in Jerusalem. He had an issue with foreigners doing what the children of Israel should be doing for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, he was one for self-determination over everything. And that was the real reason, you know, he met the fate that he met because of his stance of independence from Rome. Mm-hmm. He wanted Israel to run Jerusalem. You know, he wanted the city back. And that was the big thing. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all afraid of Rome. But when you have truth on your side, you're not afraid of anything. You understand that it's the truth that sets free. And that was the beauty of having these biblical stories to share with and to teach us these principles. You know, the principle of self-determination, standing up for what is right, standing up and doing what is in our best interest, even if it costs you your life, even at the cost of your life. You know, we have a lot of fear that's been instilled in us by, you know, they can kill us. You know what? They can kill us, but we can be resurrected.
Yeah, amen.
You know, we're resurrected through our children. We're resurrected through our principles, through the life we lived. You know, we leave legacies that will stand for time.
Yeah.
So the fear factor, we have to negate that with knowledge and love. The only thing that overcomes fear is knowledge and love.
Okay.
So now that we have the knowledge, we need to become familiar so we can get the love. We can love being who we are, love being ourselves and practicing our own practices, doing our own things, speaking our own language, mm-hmm. creating our own economies, establish our own institutions. These are the things that we need. We need to look to the future and make sure we teach our children these principles, these rights, these abilities that we have naturally, that we have to share with each other, that we have to build on. These are the things that we have to pass to our children that will resurrect us as a people, as a culture, globally. Because, you know, we're just not confined to one landmass. We're a global people. You know, there's ancient artifacts from Kemet found here in the Grand Canyon. How do you explain that? There's plenty of artifacts that have been found over here in the so-called New World that are of Kemetic origin. You know,
you can't
there's a lot of mounds.
We had already been doing commercializing and ship sailing and stuff before Columbus, brother. You know, I'm going to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Read a book by Brother Ivan Ventura.
They came before Columbus.
You didn't hear me,
great
brother.
Book.
We were already trading with our people and stuff. We were already here. The natives themselves are secondary toward us. This is ours, too, brother. I told you, through slavery, suffering, and death, it made us believe that the natives were and we weren't. How in the hell are you going to tell God's people who were at the beginning and end, Alpha and Omega, that we weren't talking about y'all? Come on, man. I ain't talking to you no more, man. I'm trying to tell you. How in the hell are you going to tell me that? And you ready for this one? The Aztecs and the Incas, the Hispanics, well, actually, they had the Mexicans, the ancient Indians, were waiting for the black god to return to them. Now, see, y'all trying to start. I wasn't trying to go.
Wow.
So how can you tell me? Well, go ahead. So come on. You've been quiet. Come on, Maya, talk to me.
I said, Ashay, the fear, like he was saying, you know, I see that on a daily basis and when I'm talking to people, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even practice some of these principles on accident before. I was like, I do that, you know, or
yeah.
I would say certain things to people, you know what I mean, especially in our communities when, you know, I see something or somebody's fighting or, you know, something
yeah.
where I can, you know, help, you know, the fear of each other, the fear of even knowing each other, if we know each other, you know, as far as ourselves first, and
mm-hmm.
really focus on, you know, being a better person all around and celebrating our culture, celebrating who we are, you know, that in itself on an individual basis would help, but also when we unify with each other, we also encourage
mm-hmm.
and give that love mm-hmm. to each other, because that right there is the healing process we need in order to make
oh,
the first geez. Step happen. In order to get
oh,
the unity portion, we have to know ourselves and understand that, you know, we are valuable. You know, we can respect each other. We can come together. We can do that. But I also have to know that I'm important. I have to love myself in order to be able to love you, in order to be able to be to be unified and to, you know, not for it to be chaos, you know, or, you know, a lot of, you know, unnecessary things happening. We have to love ourselves in order to be, you know, to love each other properly and to make that
wow.
unity strong. You know, not just
wow.
coming together and say, oh, okay, we got to come together. No, actually wanting that drive, that passion to want to unify and be together. But knowing
wow.
oneself and loving yourself is key first.